Hi, everybody. My name's Kurt. I'm a compulsive eater and very grateful in recovery today. Grateful to be abstinent, grateful to be alive. It's somewhat of a miracle that I'm here. Just to qualify, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So I was diagnosed a type 1 juvenile diabetic in 1973. I thought it was 1972, but I was a little kid. And they told me, you know, you're diabetic, you have to go on insulin, and you have to stop eating sweets. So I heard, you've been cursed, you're going to die at a young age, you'll probably go blind and lose your limbs, and there's no way in hell I'm going to give up my drug of choice. I did not know that I was an addict. I did not know that I was about to go into a life of very difficult challenges. But fortunately, I found food and drugs and alcohol at a very young age and got it all out of my system. Well, the drugs and alcohol part. I came into sobriety at a young age, and I was still a compulsive eater. I go back and look at my journals, and I've been struggling with compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors since I found 12-step recovery, which was in the early 1980s. So looking back at that, it's a miracle that I survived my abuse, self-abuse with food for as long as I did. So first of all, that's a miracle. I came into OA in 2015. My top weight was just over 300 pounds. I was completely disabled by my disease of compulsive eating. I was hopeless. And all the while, 33 years clean and sober. That is questionable after my abuse with food, but that's another story. I came in at the age of 55. In 2015, I joined a gym, went on a strict diet, started restricting calories and skipping meals. You know, that behavior that I had done all my life. And overnight, practically, I lost 150 pounds. I thought I didn't need OA. I didn't need abstinence. I didn't need to use the tools. I thought I had figured it all out on my own, like I always did. I thought it was a matter of personal willpower and determination. I did not do what was suggested. I did not have a sponsor. And I stopped going to meetings. I quickly found 100 of those 150 pounds that I had lost. In 2018, I moved to Sacramento and I fell into the arms of the loving fellowship here. I used to announce my name in meetings. Hi, my name's Kurt. I'm a compulsive eater, but I'm not abstinent. That was my qualification. And somebody sat down with me and spent a little time, one of the OA Yodas, I call them. I heard someone call them in a meeting, and I love that idea. The people in this program showed me the way. They took my hand, and I followed in their footsteps. So in 2018, I finally was determined to look at what I was doing with food honestly and with accountability. I started doing a food plan. I mean, a food plan and a plan of eating, two different things. There was the tool of service, which I got very involved in, sponsorship, meetings. I started doing an action plan. Anonymity, what is that? You know, I started practicing the suggestions that my sponsor and his sponsor did. And I've been able to maintain abstinence since 2018. In December, I'll have 5 years, which is miraculous, not just because I put down those weapons and the things I was abusing myself with, but I also maintained a healthy body weight without going up and down and up and down, which I did my entire life for, at least 40 or 50 years. My weight was always up and down, gain 30, lose 30, gain 50, lose 50. But it was always progressively worse. And so fast forward to today, again, it's a miracle that I'm alive. It really is a miracle. The abuse that I put my body through, the insanity of my compulsive eating behaviors, meanwhile, I was clean and sober, put me in the hospital, kept me away from my job. But my quality of life and my emotional health was completely decimated by my compulsive eating behaviors. So the last 5 years, I've been abstinent. Abstinence in this program is defined as the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. And I've been doing that. But it does take action. It takes daily action. Thank you, Mary Grace, for asking me to speak, and Dawn for being our leader today, everyone here in attendance, and Cindy. Action is what I struggled with the most, I would say. So what does my life look like today? Experience, strength, and hope, right? My daily affirmations. I was brainwashed by commercials on TV. That's what I thought I needed and wanted in life because that's what the media had expressed to me. And I was like a little sponge. I grew up in front of a TV set, all the commercials on TV. If you look at the history of mass media and advertising, what an influence big business and commercial entities have over the people in this world. I grew up watching commercials for cigarettes. Any wonder I started smoking at the age of 15. And it goes downhill from there in terms of the brainwashing that I did. So now I do daily affirmations that are contrary to the lies that I believed about what was good for me. You don't fix problems with food. You fix problems by talking about them. You heal your trauma by processing through grief and by doing what is suggested in the program, which is prayer and meditation and writing, and then using the telephone. There's 9 tools. I hope I can talk a little bit about each of them. I have a sponsor that keeps me tethered to the ground. My sponsor and I talk once a week, but my sponsor, interestingly enough, he's done every level of service in program. And, I didn't necessarily choose this sponsor. My higher power put this sponsor in my path to learn the lessons I need to learn in this life at this stage. Had I met my sponsor, 5 or 6 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been ready. But I've been doing work at the group level since I came in. I immediately got involved, putting up and breaking down the room, putting out the chairs. I became a literature person and loved the literature of this program, another tool. I couldn't do my daily affirmations without the daily affirmations of the program. I read the Voices of Recovery and For Today. I also read the other 12-step affirmations. But so I jokingly say I speak 7 languages. Al-Anon, AANA, CODA, ACA, SLAA, and finally OA. Again, it's a miracle I found this program before it was too late. And it was looking back right on time, because it's a big request to put down what I was so deeply invested in. It was like an abusive relationship. You hear the stories of this couple, and one is so smitten and in love, they are willing to do anything that that abusive partner says. And it's all in the name of love. But then you hear the sad story of how it ends, and you think, wow, why did they put up with that for so long? Couldn't they see that that was killing them? And, you know, sometimes it does kill us. But that was my relationship with my alcoholic foods. I was so invested in keeping them. I didn't even consider walking away forever. Today, I don't even consider them foods. There's a million and one wonderfully nutritious, healthy things that I can eat, and a small group of things that I know I'm going to have to get out of bed at 4 in the morning to finish if there's any left when I start eating them. That very first bite, one is too many and a thousand never enough. So true with my alcoholic foods. So I use the tools every day. I listen to the miraculous, wonderful stories that you share with me, and I steal everything that worked for you. If I can possibly get it to work for me, I steal it. And, you know, because it's so lovingly given, if it worked for you, it might work for me. And sure enough, my life is so improved today from the despair and the hopelessness of not even being able to get out of bed and get dressed or attend life functions. Now, I just got back from the Region 2 Assembly and met the board. I got to vote. I got to learn how the business end of things are done at the regional level. It's very exciting. I'm working on the Public Information Professional Outreach Committee, and Mexico is 35% of our region and so underrepresented, mainly because it's hard to get a visa to come to the US. It's expensive to come here to attend things. But now, with the hybrid meetings, we had maybe 8 region reps for one of the intergroups in Mexico. We've had translators. It's very exciting and a very exciting time for Overeaters Anonymous to be inclusive. The diversity community is constantly looking at the way we do things to help not just people from minority groups, but people with disabilities, and helping them to participate in a way that is equal or at least inviting. So for me, service is one of the most wonderful aspects of my life today. It gives me a purpose here. You know, Mary Grace asked me to speak today, and, you know, I don't even have to think about it. Well, sometimes I have to look at my calendar because it's easy to get double booked. That's one of my shortcomings, is the professionalism that it might take to do the higher levels of service. But it's teaching me to be more accountable as a human. It's teaching me to be punctual, to be on time, to schedule my appointments, to follow through on my commitments. I'm part of this little spiritual intention group, and we meet once a month and we talk about our spiritual path, which is part of recovery in this program. I don't believe in the God of my childhood. I believe in a much more beneficial, higher power that loves me unconditionally and wants me to survive this life. I thought God was against me as a kid, you know. Chronic illness, it's, you know, going to be, you know, my middle name. Chronic illness, Curtis. No, that doesn't sound good. But it's part of life, and grief is a part of life. And coping with grief is much easier when I use the tools of the program. I was in a meeting, and there was this speaker who had this beautiful accent from somewhere from Europe or another part of the world, but he shared something called the emotions wheel. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that. What is that, you know? So he literally uploaded it into the chat during the meeting, and I downloaded it. But there's been circumstances in my life that have caused me such emotional turmoil, and that's what I would typically run to the food over. Anytime I was stressed out emotionally, I would run to the food. And this device, this little emotions wheel, it helped me identify what I'm feeling. The other things that I use frequently in this program are the digital technology ab available to us, not just on Zoom, but things like reminders and a calendar. And technology is nothing to be afraid of. I was lucky that I had a job that required me to learn how to use a computer. And that transferred into the service that I do into our OA meetings. I love hosting. These rooms are sacred to me. It's my lifeblood. And when we're intruded upon, it's an opportunity for us to better our game, as they say. I get very threatened when I see people come in and spew hateful things. But at the same time, as someone else in the meeting shared, they're just people who need love and who want attention. Ultimately, anybody that comes in and interrupts our meetings, they're begging to be seen and heard, in my opinion. But another important aspect of recovery that I never really knew was a big deal for me was the fact that hunger is a feeling that I need to feel once in a while. I was so afraid to be hungry. I thought hunger was a punishment. Hunger is not a punishment. It's one of the greatest things I can do for myself today. I'm not anorexic. I have gone through periods where I did restrict, but as long as I follow what is suggested and with my plan of eating, have three meals set aside, have to do the shopping, have to do the prep, have to do the cooking. That all takes time. It's hard to be a chef. And I'm not a very good one, but I don't have to be perfect, right? All I have to do is feed myself in a healthy way. The things that I was addicted to and the things that I could not have in moderations. No longer even on my radar. And that is a miracle. I never thought I'd get through the day. I mean, November 1st, I was waiting in line in the parking lot to run in and buy all that stuff at 50% off, you know, always looking for a bargain. But then when it was, you know, a bargain plus my heroin, the food heroin, I should say. It's not even food, the food-like substances. What a gift. I have neutrality around all that stuff. Same thing with cigarettes and booze and drugs. I don't even think about it much today. That's the gift of this program. That's the miracle of recovery. It's funny how in the children's storybooks. I remember Hansel and Gretel. Those poor kids were cast out by their parents. What was their demise? How did the evil tempt them in, but with addictive substances? And, it's my time is up, but I do want to say that, you know, as a topic, how has Overeaters Anonymous helped you in your life today? And that is it. Thank you.